Okay, well, welcome, welcome, welcome. So, welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church. So glad to have each and every one of you. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the way you do provide. You take care of us. You bless us. Lord, thank you for salvation. Lord, the future we have as Christians. Lord, to know that we can spend eternity in heaven with you. And Lord, we look forward to that. We say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, the mess we're in here on planet Earth, Lord, it's it looks like it's got to be right around the corner. Father, I just pray that you'll open our hearts this morning to the book of Romans. I pray, Father, that we will learn. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be able to teach this difficult book, Lord, so they can understand it. Lord, I can understand it. Help me, Lord, to understand so I can help them. And Father, it's a privilege, Lord, to be able to teach your word. And Father, we're thankful that we have it in front of us. We can read it. We can study it. And I just pray, Lord, you'll help us. Give us the want to, Lord, to be obedient, to walk close to you. And Lord, just to do the things you tell us to do and not do the things you tell us not to do. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to you and pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts for the message you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start off here just a little bit different. I read something this morning that I found very interesting. I hope you might find it interesting, too. It's actually a history of the Arab nations. And again, we know the Arabs are still here, and they're still fighting, and going on. And I guess I'm just going to read it to you. And I thought it was good, so I'm going to pass it on to you. Okay. It was due to the sin of Abraham initially in going to the land of Egypt and bringing out an Egyptian handmaid that the Arab people were born. And referring to... Ishmael and Hagar is what I'm trying to say. Abraham, he went to Egypt, and he ran into Hagar, and Egyptian ham. Anyway, back to the notes or script here. Okay. And bringing out an Egyptian handmaid that the Arab people were born, who claim a right to the Abrahamic inheritance to this day, and are still after the Jews, not all of the Arabs, of course, feeling the same strength of animosity toward them, but they still desire, at least mainly many of them, the elimination of the Jewish people, that they may possess what they believe to be rightfully their own land. And this I found to be interesting because they're claiming they are also the seeds of Abraham, and God gave this blessing to the seeds of Abraham. You know, now they're not reading the part that talks about who God chose and who he didn't, but they say we're Abraham's children, and God promised it to Abraham's children. It is also very interesting that later on in the patriarchal line, there were two sons born by the name of Jacob and Esau. Jacob was a son of promise. Esau was not. Out of Esau's loins came the Edomites, again, a people that we know today as an Arab people. In Genesis 36:3, it says, when it lists Esau's wives, it lists a, and I'm going to spell it out, Bashemath, Bashemath, something like that, the daughter of Ishmael. And so that's listed among Esau's wives, okay? So this line of Ishmael, not the children of a promise, but of the loins of Abraham, and the line of Esau, not the children of promise, but also from the loins of Abraham, united to produce these people. And so they become the antagonists of the people of promise, the people of God, the nation Israel. And Ishmael's children and Esau's children joined together to persecute the seed of Isaac. And that has been true century after century, and is still going on. They live in an imminent threat. Okay, the Jews. When it talks about they, that means the Jews. The Jews live in an imminent threat of Arab invasion, and it doesn't matter what kind of treaties exist or what kind of promises are made, those mean nothing. If they decide that it's a holy war for the taking of what they believe is theirs, all treaties are null and void, and so Jews live in a constant awareness that there might be an attack against them. In Psalm 83, we read this, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." And that comes out of Psalms. I mean, that's going on back in the Old Testament, okay? In other words, the psalmist says there are people around us who want to wipe us out. They have consulted together with one consent. They are more confederate against, and they are confederate against thee. Who are they? Edom, the Ishmaelites, and Moab, the Haganas, the Hagarines, Gebel, Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines, with all the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them, and they have helped the children of Lot. And he lists all these varying people that surround the nation Israel that we know as Arab people today. So, and again, I've often heard that these people think it's a holy war, but why do they think it's a holy war? Well, God promised this to the seeds of Abraham, and we're part of it. And so we want our land. And so they didn't read all of their scripture. But anyway, I found that interesting to see how all these intermarriages and all this other stuff came together. Okay, back to Romans. We left off beginning to start in verse 18 last Sunday, chapter 9, verse 7. We're going to go ahead and read 17 and 18 this morning, but then I'm going to pick it up at 18. I'm not going to back up. We're going to keep moving forward. And again, this topic that we're talking about the wrath of God. And some of this stuff, you're going to hear some things here this morning that you're not used to hearing. In fact, I'm trying to remember if I really heard too many sermons preached on these texts. You don't hear much talked about the wrath of God. You hear some, but not in any kind of detail. But unfortunately, in the book of Romans, we have to go through it in detail because Paul goes into detail about it. And I've just got to follow along and just try to teach what the Scripture says. So anyway, let's go ahead and read chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. And who'd read those two for us? Dilbert?
For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens.
Okay. These are some tough verses. And we read that last week, but we're continuing on here. So we're going to pick it up now in verse 18. And so verse 18 starts off, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy. Okay? The example here in verse 18 is to Moses. Talking about having mercy, God said, I'm going to have mercy on Moses. And then the next phrase in that verse says, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And again, we kind of got started on that last week. And so he'll have mercy on who he'll have mercy. He'll harden whom he's going to harden. That's exactly what the Scripture says. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. That's what the Bible says, okay? And who, when he's talking about who he's going to harden, in this case, he's referring to Pharaoh. And in reading the entire account, we see several times where the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Eventually, the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. We ask, why was Pharaoh so stubborn? All right? Turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, and we'll read verse 21. 4:21. There we are. Okay. And who'd read that for us? John?
And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go.
Okay. Now, folks, who hardened his heart there? God did. Okay? God hardened. It says right there, God hardened his heart. God is going to make an example out of Pharaoh. And he did, big time. Because God wanted to use this occasion to put glory, his glory, on display. And, folks, God can display his glory through his wrath. And we're going to see that. We've seen it several times in the Bible. It is not that God alone does it, but it is that man confirms that by his own act. Folks, I got to admit this, I got brand spanking new glasses. And I can see at a distance wonderful with them, but I can't read very good. My old glasses work better for reading. It's amazing what I've been missing out on is going on in the world. All of a sudden everything is bright, and but I don't see up close good with them. So I don't know. I could read better with my old ones. So I may be switching glasses back and forth up here. Anyway, that's why I'm struggling this morning trying to read my notes. Okay, because God wanted to use this occasion to put his glory on display. It is not that God alone does it, but that man confirms that by his own act. And therein lies the irreconcilable tension between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. The two work hand in hand. And again, as we're going through this, a lot of times, you know, the Bible uses the term the foreknowledge of God. God knows beforehand what's going to happen, and God can look down through the through time. He knows what's going to happen. He's ordaining it. Let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 24. Okay, and who'd read this verse for us? Somebody else. Okay, the blue shirt, okay. Okay. And this verse right here, again, it tells us God knew what Judas was going to do. And somehow God put that in his heart, okay? And so Judas is doing what he was kind of ordained to do. But yet at the same time, Jesus says it had been good for that man had he not been born. That means Judas is going to hell. That's where he's waiting to... Anyway, he's there now, in the holding tank. Anyway, okay, leave that alone, Jim. Man is responsible, even though God chooses these people to do certain things, but yet man has got a responsibility. And woe to his man. I mean, Judas paying the price will pay the price for what he did, even though it looks like it's ordained of God. And so And we can see God will have mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And that is hard for us to put in our little human brain. And it's hard to understand. But folks, through it all, God is just. God must punish sin, and God will punish sin. And anything God does is always right 100% of the time. Now, we may not understand it, but he does. He knows what's going on. And so, but for us to try to work through these things, but I want you to see what the Bible says here. And again, through it all, we're trying to learn about God, who he is, what makes him tick, and just to gain knowledge. So we understand that God, very few people talk about the wrath of God, but his wrath is every bit as much a part of his character as his mercy is. And God wants to show his wrath. He wants us to know it's there, okay? And that's why we're going through what we're going through here. Okay, just moving on here. Go back to Romans again now, okay? It's like Judas. Judas was appointed before he was ever born to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, yet he bore the guilt for himself. Man is responsible for his own sin. It's hard to factor all this out in our own brains, okay? And so Moses emphasizes the mercy in the sovereignty of God. Pharaoh and Judas emphasizes the hardening. This passage is saying that God will give mercy on whom he will, and he will harden whom he will. He is sovereign God. He's got the right to do that. He can do that. And yet at the same time, we know that God is just. He's merciful. God is love. But again, God must punish sin. And it's a result of sin that men get punished. But what is Paul is trying to say, look, don't you come to God with any of this. It's not fair. It's unrighteous, God. Yes, sir. Correct. Yeah.
His doing and God's doing together there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Like what yeah.
You're correct. Okay. And man, it seems like man, anyway, it's hard to explain, folks. I don't want to be up here. I want to be out there. I want one of you to be up here, you know. That's why I said, God, please not. The book of Romans, please, Lord. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. So the devil made me do it?
Yeah.
Kinda, but no, it's his responsibility too when you think
yeah.
You look at it seriously. So
yeah.
How does it work? So God doesn't owe me any explanation, not one iota, other than
that's right.
I know where I deserve it. I just trust that when I do see Jesus, he will, since he knows that I'm on his team, where I hope to be, well, I'm not.
I wish you'd explain that to us. You know, and again, I fail to mention this from time to time. I love, folks, I need your input. I need your comments. There are so many times when I go home at the end of teaching this thing, I'm thinking, oh, man, I should have said this, I should have said that. And I mean, things come clear as I'm driving home after the lesson of what I should have said and what I left out. And there's a lot of times you folks come up and you fill in the cracks. And I need that. I'm asking for that. You can add things that will benefit the class. And I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to do it. This is not a gym thing. Okay? And so we're all in this thing together. We're all here to learn together. And there's a lot of you know your Bible a whale of a lot better than I do. And you got a lot more wisdom and depth and knowledge than I have. And so I appreciate your comments and your help. And so please do it. Thank you, Royce. Okay. So people are saying, people are balking. They say, it's not right that you should choose some to be saved. The answer is, it is right because God is a righteous God. And kind of like what he was alluding to, you know, if, you know, I don't know what's going to happen when we're in heaven, but I've heard some people say, we're going to understand everything when we get to heaven. And then we can look back and say, oh yeah, I see now, God was exactly right in everything he did. And he is, and he will be. And now, I don't know if that's actually in Scripture that says that. Maybe it is, maybe, I don't know, I can't come up with a verse, but I've heard people say this, when we get there, then we're going to know. And we're going to know that God was completely right, completely just in punishing all of these people. Okay, John.
When we get there, we're going to know enough.
Okay, yeah. 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 Good point. Anybody else? Okay. The only answer you're going to get out of Paul is that little Bible is what the Bible, God, wish I could read. And the only answer you'll ever get out of Paul is that the Bible says that God said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll harden on whom I will. I mean, that's right out of the Bible, okay? That is God speaking to us, what he wants us to know. And if God said it, that's the end of the discussion. I confess to you that I'm not comfortable with any of this in my own human mind. I am not comfortable up here, folks, not at all. But it's clear what it says. And the rest we have to hold by faith. We just, God said it, I believe it. God said it, that settles it. It's what I should have said, okay? And if we try to use our little pea brains to figure it out, we'll blow our fuses long before we get there. And we'll wind up accusing God of injustice, which is madness and blasphemy. Even to the disciples, in John 15, Jesus says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Father draws him. God had to draw each and every one of us. It's always been that way. It's never been any different. Now we may say, boy, this isn't what I learned in my church. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, that's all. This is Paul talking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what the Word of God is saying. Okay, we're going to shift gears here. Any questions or comments before we move on? Yes, sir.
Deeper and deeper into their sin, like Paul laid the groundwork with in Romans
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. And you got ahead of me. We're coming to James 1, 13 and 14 here in just a little bit. But anyway, very good. Very good thoughts. So now we haven't moved too far this morning. So anyway, we may not get there this morning, but if not, next Sunday. So we'll need to hear it again. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go ahead and read Romans. Anybody else before we move on? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yep. Very good. Good point, Roberta. Thank you. Thank you. You know, and folks, when you don't want to get in a position to where God sends you strong delusion, God sends it, folks. That just kind of gives me chills right now. You know, God will, you know, God is long-suffering, okay? But time after time, somewhere out there, there's an invisible line. And when you cross that line, you're in trouble with God. God will send strong delusion. Again, I say, folks, we should not flirt with sin. Because sin can, the devil's alive and well, he's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And again, that's something to know about God. You mess with God long enough, and he'll send delusion. So thank you, Roberto. Good, excellent point. Excellent point. And, see these cracks you guys are filling in this morning? It's wonderful. It helps us all to learn and see. And again, there's very few ladies speak up in here. You're free to speak up and bring stuff, you know. You know, it's not just a man-only thing. So, Lori. I think you're referring to, it's the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I think it's who he got enlighteneth every man that cometh into the world. I mean, that's one that pops in my mind. It may not be the one you're referring to, but God I think it's in the book of John, first chapter, I believe.
Romans 1 contains that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
knows that there's a God.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we have a conscience. God gives us a conscience, you know, and then we can let our, you know, like Roberta was just reading, our conscience could be seared, and the Bible talks about that, and we just need to pray, God, help me to have a clear, a holy conscience is what I'm trying to say. Okay, anybody else? All right, I appreciate it. This is good, all right? You guys help a bunch, and I need that. Okay, we're getting ready to read Romans 9, 19 through 24. And who'd read that for us? How about a brave lady reading this for us this morning? Who's brave? Charlotte? Charlotte's brave. Yes. Okay, thank you, Sharla. Okay. She just read a mouthful, folks. Wow. Okay. So verse 19 starts off, "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault?" In other words, God, why do you find fault with Judas? Okay? "For who hath resisted his will?" That's what that verse is saying, you know? And again, the human response, the human reason, you know, it says, if we're nothing but puppets, if we're nothing but victims of a divine choice, how can God blame us for anything? Good question. Tough question. Okay? If God chooses who's going to get mercy and who's going to get hardened, then how can he find fault? Good question. Okay? If God wills that I should be hardened, if God wills that I should be saved, who can resist that? If I don't have a choice, how can he blame me? That's a question people still ask today. People say, if you believe in election, then that's not fair. Paul says that's fair because God is God and God is in charge. Good point. God says, I will show mercy on whom I will, and I will harden whom I will. And that settles it. God is a God who makes choices, and he has a right to make choices. And he makes them according to his own will. Okay, turn to Joshua chapter 11. Okay, Joshua chapter 11, we're going to skip through several verses here. We're going to jump. So we'll start off with Joshua 11:6. And in fact, whoever's going to read here, we'll just let you skip. I'll tell you where to skip to. So who'd read in the Joshua 11? Delbert? Okay. Yes. Okay. Read verse 8.
The Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and cleansed them to greater Sidon, to the brook and to the valley of where they attacked them until they left none of them remaining.
See why I had somebody else read these verses. Okay. All right, and again, Joshua slaying his people, he left none of them remaining. Okay, we're talking about the wrath of God here, okay? Now, read 11 and 12.
And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those kings and all the kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword, he utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded.
Read verse 14.
All the spoil of these cities and the livestock the children of Israel took, and threw
Verse 20.
For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel and die, that he might utterly destroy them, that they might seek no mercy, that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses.
Okay. Thank you, Delbert. Folks, these are tough verses. And I have heard of groups of people that say God is love. God would not ever do anything like we just read. And they're saying we're going to rip these pages right out of our Bible because that is not the God of love that we know and we serve and we teach in our church. Okay? And there's all kinds of, a lot of people just say we won't tolerate that. We're not going to teach it, and it should not be in the Bible. And because God is love. Folks, God is love. He is. But he is also a God of justice, and in his wrath, justice will be served. And he is right in what he's doing. And again, God is wanting to destroy it because these were wicked, wicked, wicked nations. They were not serving God. They were attacking. You know, God told Israelites way back then, they say, I will bless them who bless you, and I'll curse them who curse you. And this is God's pouring out his curse on these people. Look at the flood, okay? God's power and wrath is displayed in his wrath. And there is a worse enemy I have right up there on the wall, okay? Our time is gone. And I'm just getting ready to, we'll stop, but we'll pick it up there. And any questions or comments before we leave? John?
I would say if you would ask any unbeliever, a wicked person, that it was their choice that they reject God, they'd say, well, yeah, it's my choice.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of people, I don't want to hear it, you know. Christians are being persecuted. Our religious freedom's being taken away. They hate it. Unsaved people hate what we stand for, what we believe in, what we live for. Good point. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we are blessed today while we live. God gives us, he gives them blessings too, but there's just a peace of mind. You know, I remember the fear I used to have that I was going to go to hell. I don't have that anymore. I mean, that's the least of my thoughts right now. You know, and it used to just torment me. The thought if I die right now, I'm going to hell for eternity in a lake of fire. You know, it scared the daylights out of me. Okay, we got to shut her down. Thank you, folks. Appreciate you being here and your comments. And it's time to move. We're overdue here, so let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, help us, Lord, as we study this together. Help us, Lord, to learn. Help us to understand what you're saying here. And, Lord, to realize that, Lord, your wrath is as much of your nature as your mercy. And, Lord, we're thankful that your wrath has been shown. And it kind of teaches us what we should not do. And, Father, just we're thankful, Lord. And just thank you for help us, Lord, again. To help us to take these thoughts, Lord, and help us some way to help us to improve our lives, just to have a closer walk with you, a desire, Lord, to have a closer walk with you. Lord, I pray that you'll be with Pastor this morning. Lord, speak through him to us. As he teaches your word, Lord, let it penetrate our hearts. Help us to have open hearts, open minds as we listen. And again, Lord, just help us to be obedient, Lord, to do what we're supposed to do and to not do what we're not supposed to do. So we're thankful, Father, for this time and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.